As we get into our gospel reading today, just a quick word of where we are at in Jesus' story. So we're picking up exactly where we left off last week, where Jesus is giving in Luke's gospel what's called his Sermon on the Plain. So he comes down on even level with his disciples and he begins to teach them. And last week he talked about blessings and woes. And so we'll hear a bit more about that, but this picks up right where he left off. So he's just given a word of warning to those who are rich and who may use their riches to kind of lord it over others. Woe to those who are accumulating things for themselves. He's just done that, and so now he comes out and continues his teaching. So this is the Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your lap, for the measure you give will be the measure you get back." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated. Beloved family of God, grace and peace to you from God our Creator and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. As I had said earlier, our reading picks up right where we left off last week with the blessings and woes. I love what Pastor Aaron did last week, parsing this blessing and woe. I love the translation of woe as yikes. Yikes to you who are rich, right? This word of caution, this word of warning. And we pick up just after the woes where he connects that to a new teaching. We're going to walk through the gospel reading bit by bit because like so many of Jesus' teachings, you could have whole sermons on a word or a phrase from each of these sermons that Jesus gives. And there's a way that these teachings have been preached and taught that I think is far from what Jesus is doing here. So he starts in verse 27. He says, "Listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." Now, I'm curious. How many of you have ever heard this interpreted in a way that basically says, when people hit you, don't fight back? Is that a way we've heard this read before? Just kind of makes, just, you know, people might hurt you and let them. Right? That's how this has been interpreted in the past. You know who benefits from that? The people who are doing the hurting, right? It has deep roots in our country's history of slavery and violence against indigenous communities. And like what Jesus does with the blessings and the woes, he sets up two different ways of responding to the violence of the world. There's the way of the world, and then there's this new way of Jesus. The way of the world says, do unto others as they've done to you. Someone slaps me, I'm going to slap them back. Right? Instead, Jesus says, do to others as you would have them do to you. It's a slight difference, but it makes all the difference. What Jesus is inviting his followers into is deeper into the gospel to act in ways that mirror the coming kingdom of God. If we simply mirror those who harm us, then we get sucked down into that spiral and become the very thing we hate. But there's also something interesting that's happening in his command to turn the other cheek that doesn't often get lifted up. And this is from biblical scholar Walter Wink. He was really the one that that taught this so prominently. He says, Jesus says, if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. Now, one thing to know just culturally about this time is that whenever someone would strike someone, they would always use their right hand. Right? This is going to be strange because it's going to look like your left, but it's my right, so just follow me on that, okay? People would use their right hand when they would strike someone. You used your left hand for other things and often would not be a part of anything you would do in public. So they had to be, they would always use their right hand. Now, with your right hand, when you hit his right cheek, the only way to do that would be with the back of your hand, right? This was a way that violence would happen, not only physical violence, the violence of hurting, but it's also meant to humiliate. Right? It's something that would be used to put someone in their place. Someone would strike on their cheek. It would be with the back of their hand. It would be to degrade people. Masters would backhand their slaves. Romans would backhand members of the Jewish community. It was always used for someone lower in the social food chain, so to speak. It's meant to remind people of their inferiority. The whole point was to force someone who was out of line to get back in line. And we note Jesus' audience here. If anyone strikes you, the kind of people Jesus was talking to, Jewish people, slaves, servants, these people are used to being degraded. And he's saying to them, refuse to accept this kind of treatment. If they hit you, if they strike you with the back of their hand, turn the other cheek as well. Now, what does that do if you were to turn the other cheek? It makes it so the person can't hit you in the same kind of way unless they kind of came at you with an awkward kind of slap, right? It would make someone hit them with an open fist, which is what people who were on level social structures, it didn't have the same kind of social meaning that it did. The left cheek now offers the perfect target for an open hand or the blow of a fist, but only equals would fight in that way. And the last thing that a master would want to do, or a Roman would want to do, would be to establish equality with the person they are trying to intimidate. So turning the other cheek becomes this act of defiance that makes the person in charge, the person with power, incapable of asserting their dominance in the relationship. Sure, physical harm can still come our way, but the emotional power, the social, the spiritual harm that comes from being made lower is now gone. So by turning the other cheek, the inferior party is then saying, I'm not inferior to you. I am a human being. Refusing to be humiliated any longer. It's this assertion of equality. It says, I am your equal. I am a child of God. I will not take this anymore. Now, it should be noted that to defy power like that is not a good way to avoid trouble. The master wants meekness, wants the slave to be timid. By turning the other cheek, the powers that be have lost their way to make people submit. And when large numbers begin behaving like this, you have a revolution on your hands. Jesus is inviting the crowd not to be swept up in a desire for revenge or for violence, but instead calls them toward a non-violent assertion of who they are, not to fight back in the same kind of way, but instead calls them into an act of love and mercy. I want to say just a word about love here, because when we hear Jesus' command to love our enemies, we can interpret that through a modern lens, as I was kind of talking about with the kids up here, that we have to feel warmly toward our enemies. And that's not what Jesus is saying, right? That's not what he's talking about. For Jesus to love someone is to act for the welfare of your enemy. Pastor Melinda Quivick is an ELCA pastor and worship professor. She says, love is an action. You can love your enemy without liking your enemy. Love of enemy means living in the hope and acting toward the possibility that your enemy's life can be conformed to the goodness that God desires for all people. I love that. Love of your enemy means living in the hope and acting toward the possibility that your enemy's life can be conformed to the goodness that God desires for all people. So what does that look like in our world? What does that look like in our seemingly continually unprecedented times? This week, I'm grateful for the witness of Pastor Kyle Severson and his congregation at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. It's an ELCA congregation in the suburbs of Chicago. They're a congregation known for their compassionate and inclusive ways that they love their neighbors, including those experiencing homelessness, including those who have been estranged from families. They have been doing justice work on the ground in their community for so, so long. In the past couple weeks, there has been some scrutiny about some of the global ministries of the Lutheran Church and the ways in which we're active in helping people that some people see as unworthy of such help. And this has been a focus of Pastor Kyle and the people of St. Luke's. Last Monday, the staff arrived at St. Luke's for their weekly staff meeting to find that their sign had been smashed. Outside, we have a picture of it. Yeah, someone had vandalized their sign. So they did what most would do in that situation. They cleaned it up. They filed a police report. They went about their day. And then this past Thursday, the other part, the other side of their sign was likewise vandalized as well. Now, the wisdom of this world says we find out who did this, and we go and we smash something of theirs. Right? But that's not what Pastor Kyle and the people of St. Luke's did. In a post on social media in response to this, Pastor Kyle said this. He says, if this was meant to discourage us, let it do the opposite. Let it strengthen our resolve to be a beacon of hope, justice, and love. We will continue to proclaim love of neighbor through word and deed, showing with our lives that love is stronger than fear. I love this. I love this so much because I think there is so much that is happening in our world that is meant to discourage us, to discourage us into inaction or passivity and continue to let harm go unaddressed. Anytime we see something that discourages us in this way, may this blessing from Pastor Kyle hold true in our hearts and in our lives, that when we come across things that are meant to discourage us, let them do the opposite. Let them strengthen our resolve to be beacons of hope and justice and love. Let us continue to proclaim the love of God through our words and our deeds, showing with our very lives that the love that we receive from God and pass on to others is stronger than anything that can rise against it. And it's for that love of God that continues to flow freely to us and through us each and every day that we say thanks be to God. Amen.